I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little bit. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Labor Day weekend, or almost. Mike Shope here. Bulldog is off today. It is always a treat to welcome Matt Waldman to the show, footballguys.com, the rookie scouting portfolio. Matt happens to have at least one of his fantasy teams named one of my favorite names of all the people I play against, the RSP Murder. And there's that crow, Matt, right there on your Twitter bio. What's the fascination? What's the origin story on the crows?
Oh, that's a long story, but the short one I'll just say is that crows are kind of like the scouts in nature. You know, they recognize faces. They kind of inform on their rest of their murder. I guess what they call a pack of crows, and let them know that like who's dangerous and who's not. They're problem solvers. And we often talk about, you know, them from a humble standpoint of like when you screw up, you eat crow.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of that has a lot to do with what I do for a living. So
very good. Just the mere term murder is evocative enough, right? The image of a crow, yeah. And then the murder word there, like you're already starting at a great, an advantage there.
Like you said, what's my degree? You know, you had that intro with what's the degree in kicking ass and taking names. I'm trying to earn my PhD in fantasy in that regard.
Well, Matt is one of the finest analysts, combining both expert film study with his fantasy acumen. Let's just start, if I may, Matt, with from you an overview of the Bills offseason. If you want to limit it to offense, that's fine. There's really very little different personnel-wise about their offense, but okay, they scored 30 points a game. They ran for 30 touchdowns and threw for 30 touchdowns. 30 is the operative number, I guess. What's sort of your expectations for them?
Yeah, I think more of the same. Let's just get a little bit more refined. I mean, it's really, I think they're looking at this as a multi-year process. I think with Joe Brady's system, they wanted Josh Allen to spread the wealth and not be linked to just one guy and get a little bit too all in on one primary option. So they gave him a golf bag full of different clubs. You got Keon Coleman, what he can do after the catch and at the catch point downfield at the boundary, and what he can do in the middle of the field as a runner. You've got Shakir and and what he does after the catch. And while he can do some of what Coleman does, he's not as physical, obviously, so they don't want to put him in those scenarios. But let him get yards after the catch and run and be able to create. And then, you know, looking at guys like Palmer, you know, Palmer's a little bit a tweener. He can do a little bit of both if you needed him to be that. So I think they created a little bit more redundancy in their receiver room. And then along with, you know, Knox and Kincaid, you've got guys who can do a little bit after the catch and give you some up the seam. And they want to create good spacing to allow Josh Allen to make good decisions and limit interceptions. And he's done that very well. And with James Cook, I think the priority was let's be patient and figure out how we can get this contract right. We knew that it was going to take us a little bit of time. We hoped maybe we could get it done in the spring. Didn't quite work out that way. But don't worry, folks. It's going to happen. And it did. So now it's more about letting Coleman maybe be able to blossom fully into becoming the player that they envisioned when they drafted him and seeing if he's a little bit more comfortable. And getting Joshua Palmer probably into the mix and Elijah Moore possibly into the mix off the bench when they need him. But just really do what they did in Brady's offense in year two with a little more sophistication, being able to be better at identifying disguises and coverage and being able to foil them and to create things where they have mismatches against defenses in ways that maybe they couldn't do that quite as fast. As we hear all the time when – you know, the talking heads talk about, you know, Caleb Williams is going to need multiple years to master his offense in Detroit. In Chicago. Well, Jared Goff needed multiple years, but his first year he threw for 4,000 yards. or for 4,400 yards. So, I mean, again, it takes multiple years to learn the offense the way they want the players to. But you can see what Josh Allen did in year one. So, you know, they're just going to build on it.
It can take multiple years, but I guess if you're Jared Goff or Caleb Williams and we're the first overall pick, you'll get multiple years, right? You'll get at least two. Williams yeah. will get at least this year.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, but it's funny because, you know, you got the back. I call it the backup quarterback fraternity. You know, they're skilled guys, but they're kind of like folks at the post office. They're used to doing things one way. And they're also there to get clicks. So when they start talking about he's going to need – you know, years to overcome a decade of bad habits, or he's going to need, you know, years and multiple years to master an offense. Well, yeah, most quarterbacks do. But if it creates a little bit more buzz in the media to get your attention from whatever you're eating in that sports bar, you know, above the din of TVs, that's what's going to happen. So, I mean, Allen is already good. We already know what he's done. Joe Brady's offense, I mean, people were probably worried that losing Stephon Diggs and what that was going to do, but it looks like, you know, the way that that's worked out, the spreading the wealth thing has worked for the Bills, and they're going to try and build on it.
With Matt Waldman, specific to Coleman, may I ask you just to elaborate on what it is you think maybe he needs to work on the most? Like, how do the Bills and Coleman get to a happy place, which is, of course, what they want? I mean, he's the first pick of the second round last year. They're trying to win a championship. And for all the different analysts we've talked to all summer, Matt, Coleman is easily the number one answer for, like, all right, well, who on the Bills' offense, if anyone, do you expect to pop? And I get Coleman way more than Kincaid, for one. So how much potential do you see for that to happen, whatever that, you know, how you'd want to define that? And what will it have to take?
I don't think anyone's going to pop in this offense at the level that people expect. I don't think you're going to see a 1,000-yard receiver on this offense. And I think that's, you know, for people who are hoping that Coleman becomes that, I don't think the design is going to encourage that. Because really what Coleman does so well is what we've talked about in the past at pre-draft, which is being able to win contested targets. But if you're in an offense where they're trying to diminish the amount of contested targets you actually throw, then you're not really leaning too hard on a player's athletic ability. Because, I mean, if you ask me, I look at there are three players in this receiving core who, if they played in another system, would probably be getting a lot more fanfare around the country if they were able to earn some of those contested shots. And that would be Coleman, It would be Khalil Shakir, because we've seen it in isolated instances when before the Joe Brady offense, where when he was just starting to get playing time, that they'd throw him open and he would make some tough plays like that Pittsburgh play in the playoffs against Pittsburgh, where they threw it over the middle and he made a beautiful catch. He used to do that all the time in college. And then Dalton Kincaid, where I think that he honestly, for the Bills' sake, you would like to see him continue to be used the way he's being used. But in that, you know, if you're going to say, if there's a player who's a little bit in jail and you'd like to say, free that guy's game up, it would be Dalton Kincaid. Like, as a guy who lives down here in Atlanta, if Kyle Pitts doesn't work out, I would love for Atlanta to bust him out of Buffalo and let Michael Penix, who is great at throwing people open, have Kincaid, who he can deliver balls like that. But it's just that Kincaid's not used that way because the offense wants to use him in the flats. They want to use him more after the catch. And the biggest strength of his game at Utah was going up and getting the football. And I've just never really seen Josh Allen really make an effort to target him that way. And I think that's a function of the offense, not Josh Allen, because you look around and you don't see it as often with Coleman. You don't see it as often with Shakir. It's about, look, we're not favoring one guy. Just get to the open dude. And that's great for Josh Allen, and it's great for the offense. And look, it's a team game, so that works out great. But if you're going to look at Coleman, I think Coleman's more of a 700 to 800-yard receiver this year. Maybe gives you the lead in receiving touchdowns because of what he can do in isolated situations where they might try to let him go up and get it in, you know, on some vertical shots occasionally or some red zone shots. But I think that really, if you're going to say, what's it going to take for these guys to really take that next step? I think it's going to take a different offense, and that doesn't help the team.
You're right. As the names have been invoked here, this is where I point out that Kincaid is a year older than Kyle Pitts, by the way. although Pitts's career is one, if not 2 years older, but Kincaid is a year older. Who says no? Matt Waldman on the West Hur Hotline. Well, we talked about James Cook this offseason, Matt, more than any other player here because of his contract stuff. This is meant to sort of be both a player and a fantasy question, but two rushing touchdowns to 16 rushing touchdowns. Yikes. I have read from you in fantasy that I think, if I'm not wrong here, you're comfortable with Cook at the 2-3 turn, which is earlier than he usually goes. So that's interesting to me. And just like what you see in this player, the Bills made what seems like sort of the obvious investment in him financially. Just kind of a middle ground from what we had heard he wanted and what, you know, they were paying him already based on his production. Seemed to fit nicely. How valuable is he here?
I think he's quite valuable. I mean, you, again, looking at, I think the Bills and Cook both mutually understood, look, Cook's like, I want to stay here. I mean, I'm on a winning team, and I'm getting to be the lead back on a winning team. And sure, you know, Ray Davis is a fine teammate, and he can give a little bit more of a power element than I can. But, you know, I've shown that I can get enough volume to work between the tackles, and that you're going to use me in the red zone, and that you can use me in the passing game. And where else am I going to go and have a quarterback the caliber of Allen and the organization this caliber? So I think that's a good thing. And then from a fantasy standpoint, well, he's not my ideal target at the 2-3 turn. Like, I'm looking at guys like Devontae Adams, who I think is a bargain at that range. And I tend to go receivers probably second and third overall. But if I, you know, if I find myself in a situation where I think my build is good to go with, like, you know, I can somehow get Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey back to back, which I have earlier in the summer. Honestly, with those two, I feel like I could screw up the next four picks and still be a decent contender. But like, if I just get one of those and then I decide that maybe I want to go three running backs overall and Cook is there as my third running back, oh, I'm taking that all day, because I think there's enough value at receiver to make that bet in a league where you start three running backs. So, I mean, Cook, to me, I've always been a believer that there are so many ways to be successful as a running back in terms of body type, athletic ability. As long as you have good feet, you see things developing, and you understand how to manage the game within the scope of the blocking scheme that's in front of you and the down and distance. And Cook has all that. So, you know, he's so quick, and he's slippery, and he understands, like Jamaal Charles did, to really, you know, attack first in between the tackles or in physical situations so that you can be the one to dictate the chain of events that follow. And sometimes you can hit a bigger guy and set up a move because you understand the combinations of how to attack. And he does that pretty well. I don't know if I'd say he does it as well as Jamaal Charles, but with that, you know, with the lanes that he's getting and with the way that he can create, you know, he's a very good back. He's, you know, I would say Aaron Jones is probably one of the most well-rounded guys who can give you, you know, power, speed, quickness, receiving ability. He's in that neighborhood, you know, like I always joke when I do comparisons that like he's a middle class this or that, but he's probably in the same subdivision as Aaron Jones. But maybe not in the back of the neighborhood where the biggest houses are.
You know? Middle class or diet Aaron Jones, you know, you hear that sometimes. Arbitrage. Yeah. You know, hearing you mention Jamaal Charles, Matt, this isn't really so much for...
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Marisa's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the current conversation, but most guys couldn't do most things as well as Jamaal Charles. Who, just random question out of left field here, thinking about him and running backs as well as you speak on the subject, who is maybe your favorite running back to think about, to watch, analyze, going back, you know, what's Jamaal Charles, 10, 15 years ago, or even currently? Yeah. Is there somebody here at this broad question that I'm forcing on you that immediately would be somebody you'd want to talk about and answer this question with?
Yeah, I can give you a couple that I'll give you three that come to mind. Charles certainly is one of them because he fits what a scat back should look like in terms of how to run between the tackles with the attacking nature that I told you about, being able to, you know, lower a shoulder into a defensive tackle if he's square to you, but being able to set up the spin off of it so that you're hitting him first. So before he can grab you, you've already slipped away. And there's a lot of other things about him that are great. But the guy who scouts and trainers and people I trusted who were in the league, who when I was learning this game mentioned who was probably the teaching tape for running backs, even after long after his prime was over, is Frank Gore Jr.'s daddy.
Oh,
you know, Frank Gore is maybe not, you know, the fastest, the biggest, but he is so sophisticated in how well he sets up runs with his footwork, with his patience, how tight he can really press a crease. And I've shown some things on my site, the difference between, say, aging Frank Gore in Indianapolis and Marlon Mack in Indianapolis running the same play. And I've also shown one of where Frank Gore runs a play that looks like it's trouble, and Anthony McFarlane running the same play and getting the same type of trouble, and seeing how old Frank Gore gets 15 yards and how Anthony McFarlane gets stuffed in the backfield. So his ability to really set up runs and read the field, Frank Gore is to me like Nick Chubb's dad. Okay. Like Nick Chubb would be on that list too. And then I think the best running back I've ever seen, at least for a period of time in the past 20 years, maybe 25, let's say 25 years, the best running back that I like to watch, and I'll go back and watch his tape when I can, is the first 2 years of Edgerrin James.
Mm.
Edgerrin James' ability to drop his weight and be so sudden in and out of cuts, but have the power and the pad level, even the post-injury Edgerrin James with the Colts in short yardage, which is really a very difficult thing to be able to do well. His ability to get lower than his man was always a saving grace. But I think Edgerrin James could have been one of the best backs of all time if he had stayed healthy and didn't have that devastating knee injury that changed the way that he ran a little bit. Still a very good back, obviously, a Hall of Famer, but I think he would have been a record-breaking runner based on the first 2 years that he had in the league, because he could do it all. And then one guy that, if you're an old-timer like me,
let's go.
Or supposedly is William Andrews out of Atlanta.
Wow.
Walter Payton once got interviewed in Sport Magazine, who would he block for in the league if he was at a chance to block for anybody? And he said, well, Matt Sui, because he was my fullback. He said, but the other guy is William Andrews, because I just love the way he plays. He was one of the first backs to get 2,000 combined yards, and he did it 2 years in a row before Roger Craig. And he literally laid the wood to Ronnie Lott a couple of times in some highlights you can find on YouTube. And he was blocking for Joe Cribbs at Auburn.
Yes.
At that time. So William Andrews, if you never heard of him, go watch some William Andrews, because that dude was insanely good, but he had an ACL tear mid-career, and he had nerve damage in his toe, and it was literally just running a play on grass in summer camp, and it forever changed his career. But he was, and then some of his stats were on par with guys like Barry Sanders and the top end runners in the league during the time that he was in his prime.
Love it. No worries if our younger listeners don't know who that is. But as it happens, Matt, if people were listening yesterday, they heard his name on this show yesterday too. Because Sal Capaccio, our beat reporter, and I were talking, and just we got to the subject. We're talking about uniforms, these rivalry uniforms and throwbacks and everything. And Sal just happened to mention the Falcons are wearing their 80s, I guess, uniform, the red helmets, when they play the Bills this year. And he asked me, who do you think of when you think of that uniform? I said, William Andrews. And so,
yeah, there's a streak
going here. William Andrews, welcome back to the show today. Just to close on fantasy here, Matt, like you've mentioned a couple of strategies already, and you can read Matt at footballguys.com. What's your perfect start? Like where you'd want to be picking, and just sort of your basic 12-team PPR format?
Sure, and if you want to find some more of this work, I have a draft plan at footballguys.com where I do two iterations of it, and I show you where when I pick early, from the middle of the draft, and at the end of a order, and I do it for, you know, one QB and two quarterback leagues, and I give you different options of what I'm doing and players I like, but also alternate picks so you can kind of mess with your builds. But I always like picking at the end. I always like picking at, 11th or 12th. I feel like I see the board best from that range. And because of the fact that Derrick Henry is sitting there late, and often a guy that I can get because people are worried about his age, just like they were last year. But I like running back, like a running back with a great offensive line who is generally a safe player because he's skilled and has a great offensive line and usually a good passing game to also complement it. And I could do that early. Then I'll go with wide receivers, you know, for the next 3 to 4 picks as a result of that. And I feel like that I can get good players that way. And then I can go with a block of running backs, you know, that some people call the dead zone for running backs, and they don't, you know, they're worried about that. But you can get young talent like a Caleb Johnson. You can often get at that range, or a David Montgomery, who people look at David Montgomery and they're sitting there going, well, Jahmyr Gibbs is the guy to have, but Jahmyr Gibbs going out for more passes might actually make him more sacrificial than actually productive. And a lot of people are kind of missing that. I think he'll still be very good, but you can get a guy like Montgomery, and he's going to be getting red zone touches and closeout touches behind a good offensive line, or Aaron Jones combined with Jordan Mason. Everybody's poo-pooing that in the way of saying that, well, Mason's going to take a lot of touches, but I would dare say Aaron Jones as a receiver and a runner is a better player than Jahmyr Gibbs, just older. And he's always gotten it done, even when he's been in committees in Green Bay. And if they decide they're going to, you know, use him a little bit more like Jahmyr Gibbs, well, he was Jahmyr Gibbs before Jahmyr Gibbs, if you ask me, just didn't have the system to do it. So if I can land him as well and have a Derrick Henry, David Montgomery, and an Aaron Jones and take some chances later, I can get a bunch of receivers, and then I can take chances on guys like Caleb Williams, or I can go with the safe pick of Brock Purdy or Jared Goff in the 8th or 9th round and take a chance on some of the later tight ends. Like, to me, Pat Freiermuth is hilariously low right now because everybody's worried about Jonnu Smith, but the Steelers have said he's the heartbeat of the offense, and with Russell Wilson, he was on track for an 8 or 9 touchdown season. And with Aaron Rodgers, I think you're going to see him actually lead the Steelers in touchdowns this year, not DK Metcalf. I think he's going to be the touchdown leader because of how good he is as a contested catch player. And I could get a guy like him and Colston Loveland and get, you know, Freiermuth in like 15th, 16th round. And that's pretty nice. And I feel like if there's a position that you can kind of take risks with, that's the one. So why not?
I'm drafting tight end premium all the time, and he won't even get picked. Last night I did a 350 stakes league, and 30 tight ends got picked, and he was not among them, Freiermuth. So that's a really that's a really good take. Well, covered a lot of ground here. Always love talking to you. Dalton Kincaid is older than Kyle Pitts, but younger than Tyler Shuck. So remember that as we part here, Matt. Whatever that's worth to you.
And he's probably going to have a better season than both of them. We'll find out.
I would think. Certainly than Shug, probably. Thanks again, Matt. Enjoy your Labor Day weekend and the season, of course.
You too, fellas.
Thank you. Matt Waldman on the Wesher Hotline. We'll take a break here. Look for your calls at 803-0550. Want to talk about the Micah Parsons trade and some other stuff. Fantasy Friday, we used to do that. It's Friday. The season is next week. Football Friday, of course. It's all happening. Lines are open. Mike Shope here, WGR.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Without being too broad, obviously, we did think it was in the best interest of our organization, not only the future, but right now, this season as well. We've gained a Pro Bowl player in an area that we had big concern in on the inside of our defense. We need to stop the run. We haven't been able to stop the run at key times for several years. When you have the kind of extraordinary pass rush that Michael had, then the way to mitigate that pass rush is to run at you. If the pass rush doesn't get you ahead pretty big time, and you're playing even or behind, then you've really got a problem in stopping the run.
How embarrassing. Jerry Jones, it can't have been an accident that multiple times he referred to Micah Parsons as Michael. Reminded me of when I was getting to know Chuck Dickerson, and he would incorrectly pronounce Tom Donahoe's name on purpose, just to sort of like tweak. And we went to a commercial one day, like, why are you doing that? He's like, you know why I'm doing that. Like, so bad. I mean, really, he doesn't have enough respect for Parsons to call him by his name. I mean, was it supposed to be that we didn't notice? Was he asked? Man, if I were in that room, I would have been like, you know that you're doing that, right? Like, I would have wanted it. I'm not sure I would have had the nerve, but Is that an accident? You don't know his name, or what's happening here? Wow. I was thinking about, well, we all were yesterday, like this trade and that franchise and Jerry Jones himself. It is, I'll explain this. It is Sabres adjacent. Like, what's worse? What's the worst feeling for a fan of a sports team to have about his or her team? Like, what's the lowest you can feel? I think when your team's leadership is incompetent, like when you're a laughingstock, and it might feel like there's just no way around it. And, you know, of course, usually a fan can hope for his owner to can the dodo bird general manager, or fingers crossed, hope that is randomly good GM that you sort of lucked into doesn't leave and escape the Dodo Bird owner. Dodo Bird doesn't get used enough. I feel like I want to bring back Dodo Bird. Was the Dodo Bird before it went extinct and before it became, was it actually known as like the Eastern Maryland Pip Hatch or something, but then it went extinct and we just had to call it a Dodo Bird? I think it probably was either way around. So again, back to the point. Your lowest existence, I think, as a fan is if you just have no hope that your team's management is able or willing to figure out. And it couldn't be both. The Dallas Cowboys should be able, the Sabres are different in this important respect. The Dallas Cowboys, American sports' most valuable franchise, you would think should be able to attract players and just, all else equal, consistently win. But they don't. They're usually pretty good. But they don't. They don't consistently win. And that would just be like, if you're a Cowboys fan, like a real one, if you're a Cowboys fan, you would just be probably like incredulous. How have I not been to a championship game in 30 years? Like, just, how is this real? How are we trading Micah Parsons for draft picks and have the owner, who's also the GM, that's their problem, the Dodo, he's both Dodo Birds, like, and have him call him by a different name at the press conference like he thinks it's funny. He either thinks it's funny or he's just senile, but I don't believe him to be senile. I feel like it's all been calculated. And a lot of people, everybody's saying that Parsons rubbed him the wrong way earlier in the offseason, and Jones, like, he's not going to play for me anymore. And, you know, the whole business about communicating with the player, negotiating with the player and not the agent, just amateur hour. I just think that that's the lowest you can be. The Cowboys don't have a palm trees problem they can point to. Like, they don't have any excuse. They can't stand there and tell you how they are disadvantaged, like the Sabres have and do, like, frequently. They've done lots of that. And they're not always off base, you know? I mean, I think for all the fun we had with palm trees from Kevin Adams, there's truth in it. You just never want to hear publicly, especially your team's leadership, make that excuse. Because what are you actually saying? I can't do this job. It's too hard. Okay, well, any owner that I could, you know, conjure up in my mind would get someone else the next day. I'm going to find somebody who thinks they can do this job. Thank you, though. Thank you for your service. Like, that can't fly. The Cowboys' plight is that Jones is all of it. He's in control of the whole thing. And I think that's probably a really lonely feeling for the fans who just seeing the team get embarrassed like that. Absolutely embarrassing. I'm not even to stop the run yet. I'm not even to, like, the general manager of an NFL team in the year 2025 thinks the more important thing here was to stop the run. I mean, he doesn't have the internet. Anybody who would say that just does not have the internet. It just, like, it's incredible. So it was cheap and just completely embarrassing. And, you know, the beat goes on, right? They're not going to be the most valuable franchise because of this. And anything can work. Maybe they'll win. Maybe this trade won't completely alienate all the players and make them wonder how fast they can get out of there. And it'll actually somehow have the reverse effect. Anything can work. One of these years, maybe the Sabres can line up a goalie season with a year where they can score. Like, they've been scoring, but then goaltending slipped. And they, you know, really haven't had goaltending be top third. How many years out of the 15 years have they had that? A couple, maybe. But one of these years, maybe it'll line up for them. And despite all their failures over the years, they'll get in the playoffs, you know? What's a good year for the Sabres? To make the playoffs. What's a good year for Dallas? To make the second round, maybe? They do not make the semis. They do not make the championship round. They've had Tony Romo and then Dak Prescott, two excellent quarterbacks, for a long time, and it has not been enough. In the NFC, where you're losing to Jordan Love and Brock Purdy instead, which that's both of those things have happened in the playoffs to Dallas in recent years. I don't know. I think if you have a knucklehead coach, just try to mix it up, move over to knucklehead. If you have a knucklehead coach or, you know, say you have that, that's just not going to last long. Most of the time, Housley with the Sabres, using them again. Okay, well, this guy is not it. Hopefully this doesn't take too long for the Sabres to figure that out. 2 years went by, and then there he went. You have the coach who just isn't good enough. Time will pass, and he'll be gone. Bad roster. The draft is there to help you. The system is built to help you. And, okay, well, you know, things start to fall right. We thought they had for the Sabres with Murray that here you've got Eichel happening and Reinhardt happening and, you know, a couple of trades. And, like, this is how you do it. This is how the Blackhawks went from this ultimate embarrassment of a franchise to the top. And their owner died, which they needed, probably. Like, they were the Cowboys a little bit with Bill Wirtz. It's how it happens. You can have that hope. But when your owner is you know, just way off. And he loves the spotlight. And he's the GM. Odds aren't great. And this is really, I think, a low point. For as many shots as have been taken at Dallas and Jerry Jones over the years, all these years of coming up short, this, I think, is a new low. Trading, you do not see players like this in sports get traded. Maybe if they play for the Rays or something, and there's just no way their team is going to meet the contract demands, then they get traded. The Sabres are a little bit of that too. I mean, historically, all those guys, I listened to the morning guys today, and Joe DiBiase at one point said, name a great Sabres player who ended his career here. I'll give you an hour. After Perreault, just name any great player who, and I started to think, I'm like, does Pominville count? Not really. Like, he was good, if not very good, but he left and came back. Like, that doesn't even really count. But like, everybody kind of great in their history, just they alienated and they left. And it's just like too depressing to even think about. And that's with different ownership. Doesn't seem to matter. You know, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry. But what a scene, Dallas. Like, this does not happen. It only ever would happen to a team that doesn't want to spend the money. It could happen to the Bengals. It does not, it should not happen to the Cowboys. And it did. And other than the fact that he actually was traded, meaning that we knew the whole time with Parsons, Micah Parsons, even I know his name, we knew the whole time with him that as time passed, his price was going up. And the Cowboys were like, you know, wow, these guys are really stupid. Like, they don't realize that. They weren't stupid. They didn't care. That's what I think we learned by their having made this trade. They weren't blind to that. They just didn't care. Because we're not going to pay them. Don't you think? That's what ended up being the story there. People didn't expect the trade because it doesn't happen. And we focused on the fact that they were going to end up spending way more than they need to. No, they were never going to spend anything. They were never going to sign him. Michael Parsons. I mean, it's one thing for Terry Pegula to, you know, be at a league meeting or something and talk about Antoine Baldwin when he meant Anquan Bolden, reportedly. Like, that's unbelievable. But this is a star on your team that you traded today. And just, like, obviously that was intentional, right? I mean, that had to be intentional. Sal Capaccio coming up at 5. This is Mike Shope on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.